Today is Wednesday, February 24th, 10th day of the month of Adar. This is the women's Chumash year. We're up to Dvarim, Perek Lamed Bet.
Hey, Rabotai. Okay. Okay, Rabotai. We are in the midst of Parshat Ha'azinu. And we are, last week we read and tried to explain, give some understanding to, between Revi and Chamishi, which was God's reaction to the several attempts that have been made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to gain our trust and belief in Him. He has made several attempts. Sinai, Israel, unfortunately they failed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reacting in a very, very strong fashion. Today, Rabotai, we're going to see one of the most critical statements of the Ramban. And that's why I photostat it for you. In his interpretation of the phrase, Pasuk Chavav, Amarti Af Ehem. Amarti Af Ehem. I'm going to show you several interpretations as to what the phrase means. I translated last time in one fashion. We'll see three other readings, and then one of the most powerful statements of the Ramban, which he himself contradicts something that he said previously in Sefer Bereishit. Omarti af ehem ashbita me'eno zichra. The way I translated it last time, Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Chavav, God said, Amarti af ehem, I will make them into nothing. Ashbita me'eno zichra. I will eradicate their memory from humanity. Nobody will ever know who you are. That's one loose translation. Take a look at Rashi. I bracketed the relevant Rashi for you on the left side of the page. That's how Rashi interprets it. Amarti Billy B, F'e Otam. I will make them into nothing. Absolutely into nothing. That's one interpretation. Others claim that what it means here is the root is not from nothing, but from pe'ah. I will make them into pe'ah. Maza pe'ah. Pe'ah is the corners of the field, the edges of the field. When you are a pyre, a farmer, right? A dumb farmer. When you're a pyre, what are you obligated to do? Part of your field, you have to leave over the end of the field. It's called Peah, the mitzvah Peah. Say it every morning. Elu devarim she'en lamshir, ha-peah v'abikur. There is no minimum amount. So, another possible explanation of Amati Afayim is I will put them on the extremes, on the edges of the world. In other words, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be dispersed, scattered throughout the world, and just be at the remnants, the edges of the world. Symbolized a terrible galut. That's one interpretation. V'yesh lefaresh, says Rashi, af ehem, asitam pe'ah, lahashlicham me'olai, Hefker. Hefker. Rashi here plays on another aspect of the word Pe'ah. In his first reading, Pe'ah creates the sense of galut, exile. You're on the edges, the fringes. You don't live downtown. No more downtown. You don't live downtown anymore. Where do you live? You're somewhere on the edges, on the outskirts.
Second interpretation, says Rashi, no. God will said he will make us like you treat Pe'ah. How is Pe'ah treated? It is hefker. What does the word hefker mean? Ownerless. Nobody cares about it. Anybody can take it. Anybody can seize it. So the hefker, when I make something pe'ah, the halacha is that anybody who is a poor person is permitted to take it. It doesn't belong to any specific individual. So the thrust of God's anger is that what will I do? Amarti af ehem. I will make you like pe'ah, like hefker. In other words, what happens when you declare something hefker? You declare it ownerless, and therefore subject to be seized by anybody. We do this in about 5 weeks. In about 5 weeks, you'll be making something hefker. What do we make hefker in 5 weeks?
Chametz.
Your chametz. That's part of the mitzvah of bitul chametz. We say, libatel v'leheve hefker. That's the way you protect yourself from ownership of chametz. One of the methods is to declare it hefker. Anybody can come and take it, therefore it's not mine. If it's not mine, I'm not held accountable for it on Pesach.
How do we sell it also?
Okay, that's a very good question. Because the chachamim don't believe that you can be serious. If I have $1,000 worth of ringdings in my closet, I'm going to look at it and say, it's hefker, it's garbage, it's the dirt. Nobody believes you. Therefore, the Chachamim asked us to do two other things. Either you destroy it, or you sell it. One of the two. But we cannot trust that you will mean the bitul seriously, because it's a joke. It was intended when you have, when you live from day to day, right? So you have yesterday's leftover piece of bread.
No
problem. So the Chachamim could understand, you know what, I'll say bitul, I'll declare it like the dust of the earth. But when you suddenly have a liquor store, and that's all Taruvah's chametz, you're going to say, it's hefker, anybody can come, that's nonsense. You're not going to mean it sincerely. That's why we sell.
Whatever you forgot or whatever.
Correct. It's because we don't trust that you mean a bitul sincerely. The Chachamim said, you better do something else to demonstrate that you don't want to have chametz in your house. So either you destroy, we burn some of the chametz, and the majority of it, what do we do? We sell.
Why do you take that more seriously than the bitul?
Because it's 100% legal sale. That's correct. I don't waste my time with the Gentile. It's a legal sale. I know your husband doesn't sell any chametz.
Well, I'm trying to get you to tell me why.
I know him already. I know him already. That's good. Good. That's all. Yes. Good. So the punishment, the anger of God is saying, imagine, ladies, where you said, I am abandoning my children. I want to disown you. I have nothing to do with you. I'm not responsible for you. I don't have to give you food, clothing, shelter, nothing. I have nothing to do with you. And as a result, that's one consequence, God is no longer there. And what else does he do? A mother protects their child against anybody who wants to attack. The protector is no longer here. So now you become subject to everybody's whims who would like to attack. The mother and father are no longer available to protect you. That's Rashi's second interpretation. Not that he will make us the remnant and scatter us. The interpretation is kilashon pe'ah, like the halacha to be applied to pe'ah, which is hefker, ownerless, and that's Rashi's second interpretation. Good. If you look below, Ibn Ezra, I bracketed the relevant words, says Ibn Ezra, you know what? All of these things are nice stabs at it, but there is no parallel in Tanakh any place to this word. The Hanachon, what I believe is correct, She'ain lo re'a. What's a re'a?
Friend.
A friend. It's got no friend.
Doesn't that mean there's no other word of like it?
Which is similar, which will help explain.
No,
correct. Has no companion. Ibn Ezra's style of commentary is to understand the intent of a word by comparing it to its use somewhere else in Tanakh. So that's his approach of etymology. You see how Tanakh uses it, and then what do? You now try to understand in the context of what's happening here. One of the modern day commentaries, Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, that's one of his styles. He always thinks, well, how did the root, you compare, it's used this way, that way. And he stretches it quite a bit sometimes also. Ibn Ezra is a lot more narrow and well-defined. And he tells us, I read all of these suggestions of Rashi and everything. I say, it's all nice, little stretches. Bottom line is, it's a singular word, and there is no companion in Tanakh to really shed light to us what the real word of Afehem truly means. Now, take a look on the top of the page. Right underneath the Torah text, I bracketed for you the relevant words of Onkelos. Relevant. Amart, I said, Yechul Rugzi. Mazer Rogez?
Charon
A. He says, Onkelos says, the word Af Ehem is from Af. God is angry. Charon A. Or Erech Apayim. God, that means, that. What does that mean, Erech Apayim? That he won't get angry. It takes him a long time to get angry. So here on Marti, God said, Af Ehem, I'm going to be angry. And when God's angry, that's not terribly good. And as a result, because he gets angry, Ashpita Me'enesh Zichra. Good. So that's already four possible interpretations of the word Af-Ehem. Either it means they will be scattered to the fringes of the world. The imagery is Pe'ah as a noun. Two, Pe'ah as its halachic treatment, ownerless, abandoned by its parents, abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Three, that it's anger. God said, I am going to allow my anger to rage in them. Four, we just don't know what it means. So out of the context, we mean something not good. Whatever it means, it's not terribly positive. What Ibn Ezra says, we don't know. Now we're going to look at the Ramban. And if you look at the Ramban, I bracketed that whole thing, and then flip to the next page, it's a whole page. It is so important that we have to see part of the Ramban. So Ramban says, Amru hamidaktikim, those who were very careful about the words, about the root of the word, grammarians, right? Afazreim bechol pe'ah. I will scatter them to the four corners of the world. I will scatter them to the four corners of the world. The imkain, yetam, omarti, if that's the case, what does it mean, omarti afehem? Shehaya haratzol lifonai, b'midat hadin, shiyukacha, le'olam mefuzarim b'chol peyach. Rashi here, or Ramban rather, translates the word Amarti as it is translated in Bereshit. Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or. Vayomer Elohim Tabche Ha'aret Zeshe. Vayomer Elohim Yehi Yishritu Hamai. What does it mean, Vayomer Elohim, Yihyor? What does that mean? God said? That's his will. Exactly. The laws of nature are simply representative of Ratzon Elohim. What God wills, that's what happens. That's what brings it into effect. God wills it, that brings it into effect. So, And that's what it means. God willed the capacity for life to exist, and it came into existence. Vayehi or. Here too, Omarti, I willed something, said the Rambam. What did I will? That Midat Hadin should be prevalent. That from here on in, the rule of absolute justice should now prevail within Am Yisrael, rather than allowing my will to reflect Midat HaRachamim. Once my mindset, my ratzon, is what? To have Midat HaDin, there is absolutely no stopping of it whatsoever. It is impossible to counter it. Why is it impossible to counter? Because no force on earth can contradict God's will. No force on earth can contradict God's will. That is why when people decide to challenge the laws of nature, you don't need a judge to determine that you're going to be dead. You go to the top of the Empire State Building and jump off, that's it. You can't say, you know what? I am going to challenge the law of nature. And I'm going to jump off everything, nothing's going to happen to me. Trust me, it's not going to happen. So the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the law of nature. If God wills it, that he wants to operate with Midat HaDin, there is no force on earth that is capable of stopping it at this particular time. No force on earth. And in fact, we've seen elsewhere, and I'll remind you of it. Please open up for just a second to chapter 12 of Sefer Shmot. Chapter 12 of Sefer Shmot. And you'll read it inside in the text. Chapter 12 of Sefer Shmot. Let me give you the exact pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Chapter 12, verse 23 in the book of Exodus. Says the Chumash. It is describing and Korban Pesach. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to do in Mitzrayim when we sacrifice the Korban Pesach? What does he do? Put blood on the doorposts. And he says, why?
Oh.
Why? What happens? Why?
V'lo yitain ha-mashchit.
Ah, exactly. V'lo yitain ha-mashchit lavo el batechem lindom. What does that mean? The mashchit will not have the mashchit. What is the mashchit? The destroyer will not have the capacity to enter your house. So everybody asks on the Torah, what do you mean the destroyer? Who's the destroyer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Lo al yidei malach.
Exactly. We think it's lo al yidei malach. God did it himself. Yes, certain things he did himself. But what happened? If God is doing it on himself, does he need a little smearing on the door to let you know that this is a Jewish house? No, he doesn't.
No, but he needs to know that you have faith.
Okay, that's an answer to the question. Rashi chooses to answer it not the way you choose it. You might be 100% right. God doesn't need it to identify that what? That this is a Jewish home. He knows it's a Jewish home. God wants us a public symbol to indicate that you are making a statement of belief. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way Rashi says. Mm-hmm. What does Rashi say? Mikan. Mishenitna reshut lemashchit. There's no stopping. Precisely. Once the agent of destruction is allowed to run wild, that agent of destruction, unless he is directed purposefully, that guy can go ahead and wreak havoc even to those who don't deserve it. Even to those who don't deserve it. What does that mean? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has willed that a mashchit, I don't know what the word means, who is this mashchit? But it is a mashchit. This is not a midrash, this is not Kabbalah, this is a pasuk in the Chumash. V'lo yitein ha-mashchit, this is coming out of God's mouth. V'lo yitein ha-mashchit, I will not allow the mashchit to penetrate your home. Apparently, says Rashi, once God wills a mashchit, a license to kill, that license doesn't know any boundaries. What does he do? Anybody who was a firstborn, you're a firstborn, you're dead. You're a firstborn, you're dead. No discretions, I don't know who you are, what. Therefore, some protection is necessary for Bechorei Yisrael. Why? Because there are times when God's anger is such, and there is no countering it, no matter who you are. No matter who you are. If you remember correctly, I told you this in Bereshit chapter 18, verse 33 as well. I told you that. Chapter 18 of Sefer Bereshit, verse 33. I'm reminding you of something. Spectacular. Not good. Spectacular. You should remember it when you look at it.
18,
chapter 18, verse 33 in Bereshit. That is correct. You remember the difficulty. The issue was, why did Abraham not pray for anybody if there were less than 10 righteous people in Sodom? He only prayed for 50. If there were 50, God said, I won't destroy. 45, 40, 30, 20, 10? Not to the 2-yard line. To the 10. That's it. He didn't ask, how about if there were 9 tzaddikim? So Rashi answers, what was Rashi's answer? Same in the Midrash. That Abraham already understood that the answer was no. Where did he learn that from? The Dor HaMabul. Doesn't Rashi say that?
Yeah.
Good. Because Rashi's quoting the Medrash. Exactly. He learned it from the Dor HaMabul. There were 8 righteous people during the generation of the Mabul. Noah, his 3 children, Shem, Ham, and Yafet, and their respective wives. We don't know who they are. And that's it. And then God is number 9. God's presence is number 9. And that did not help spare the world. Everybody except those 8 people died. That's it. So Abraham understood, if there are less than 10 people, for some reason, God has decided he's killing them all. I can't spare the others. I can't spare the others. That's how Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. However, there is another interpretation. Based on the unusual language of that pasuk. Correct. That's what I told you. Vayehi ka'asher kila ledaber im Abraham. As God finished speaking to Abraham, Vayelech Hashem, and God went. So I told you, God speaks to humans 50,000 times. To Moshe Rabbeinu, 48,000 times. To all the other Nevi'im, 2,000 times. Not once in Tanakh does it ever say that God left when he was finished talking. Not once does it ever say, Vayelech Hashem, Hashem diber ledaber Moshe. Vayelech Hashem kasher diber tila ledaber in Yeshayahu. It never says it. It's the only place in Tanakh. Vayelech Hashem kasher tila ledaber in Abraham. Why? Because Abraham had one more question.
Yeah.
One more. Rabbi Yishon, if there was one tzaddik in Sodom, are you going to let him be killed? One tzaddik. One Belzer Rebbe. In stone. You're going to allow the Belzer Rebbe to be killed because of those other animals running around in stone? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipated the question and disappeared before Abraham had a chance to ask. Vayelech Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is picking himself up and leaving in advance of the question. Why? Because unfortunately, what's the answer?
Yes,
it's not going to happen. Because once that mashchit gets going, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes, I can't say, have no control over it anymore. And that means that at times, isolated cases where very, very righteous people, tzaddikim in the eyes of Abraham, and God didn't refute it, will die together with the Rishaim, with the wicked people of Sodom. I can't explain why he does that. I don't know why. It seems grossly unfair. Why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously change his mind and offer some limited protection? I don't know why. But the message is abundantly clear that from time to time HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't operate that way. Says, now going back to us, says the Ramban, point number one, what's happening in Amarti Af Ehem, after I explain four different interpretations of the word Af? Number one, that God has decided, his Ratzon is Midat Hadin. Midat Hadin. Now, let's continue. What?
Is the word Amar?
Yes, Amar means what's so?
Okay, so where is the connection then? That you used in originally?
No, first of all, it happens to be true, then, because the result is Din.
Right.
Here, what's the result of his willingness to go to Din? So what's the result? Ashbi Tame and Ozichram. You're going to be eliminated from the memory of humanity. Why will you be eliminated? Because Midat HaDin has decided guilty is charged. No Rachmanis any longer. Guilty is charged. So once you're guilty, the Mashchit will come, annihilate, there will not be a Jew left to be remembered.
Maybe, I mean, obviously we don't ever know the answer to these questions, but when the Tzaddik is destroyed with the Rasha, then it makes all the rest of the Tzaddikim in the world care about what happened, whereas if you would just have the Rasha'im destroyed all the time, then the Tzaddikim of the world would just say, fine, we don't have to deal with them, Hashem's just going to destroy them.
Interesting. Perhaps. Perhaps you're right. That's an interesting suggestion.
Could be that.
It's an interesting suggestion.
Did we talk about this in the terms of people who are exempt from going to war, that in a war the Mashchit is let loose?
Excellent.
That's what I remember.
Excellent. That was Parshat Shoftim. Correct. Excellent. Miha ish hayarei v'rachalevav. So literally it means somebody who's a coward. He's afraid of the rigors of war. But that's not what the Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara says. Yarei me what? Me cheto. He's afraid of his sins. And once the mashchit is allowed to run wild on the battlefield, because the guy shoots a machine gun against you, the machine gun is not going to be able to differentiate between this guy who's a Russia and this guy who's a Tzaddik. You're right. Excellent. Correct. We said it then. Good. That's right. Themes that appear all over the place. That's what we try to do. Identify certain common themes. But I want to go on with the Ramban, please, with your kind permission. I am now in, I should have put lines in. Line 5 of that paragraph. Avo ta'ama. She'atzitem b'makom, I will place them in some place. U'ke'inyan she'omru alayhem gami yatem lomar, she'lo yisha'er lohem shame. There will be no name, no remnant of the Jewish people. U'she'ar bagoyim, no remnant of in the world. V'lo yodea mikomam ayeh. You will have no idea where these people are. Who your Moses, says the Ramban, first order, don't forget, this is prophecy, prophecy, what is it offering prophecy to? Who your Moses, Ligalut Aseret HaShvatim. This is the first exile of mass B'nai Yisrael. I ask you, ladies and ladies, does anybody know if you come from Shevet Dan? Do you come from Shevet Naphtali? No. What has happened with the exile of the 10 tribes?
They've lost their name. And
exactly
their
what the Ramban said.
Yeah.
They've lost their name and their identity. Nobody can trace their origins today to the people of Dan, Reuven, Shimon, Gad, Leah. We can only trace our roots to three possible sources. Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shevet Levi. And that's it. Nothing else. But all the others, impossible for us.
So my name claimed it from Shevet Ephraim.
We know that that's correct, they do. They claim, maybe they're right, who knows? That is correct. The Shomronim, Samaritans. Yes. Listen to this. Hu Shahachamim Korin, this is what the rabbis refer to as Sambatyon. You've heard of the river Sambatyon. Listen to this Ramban. Ki nikra gozen milashon vayagaz salvim. It means what? Cut off completely. I'm skipping a line, the second to the last line. Ki ha'omdim acharav, anybody who's behind the Sambatyon, mosarim mibnei adam, are totally removed from what? Humanity. Vikorin oso sambatyon, and on the bottom it really means, it says it's sambatyon, mibnei sheshvitato b'shabbat. The Ramban is telling us the legend. What happened in the sabbatyon on Shabbos? What happened? What's the legend?
It stopped flowing.
It stopped flowing. Kiyom, please turn over the page. Kiyom ha-shabbat b'lashon ha-hu sabbat. It was not really called the Sambatyon, and that's what the Ramban wrote. It was called the Sabbatyon. Ka'asher hu ba'aravi, as it is in what language? Aramaic. In Arabic, rather. In Arabic. Sabbat, Sabbat, Sabbat. That's Shabbos. V'nahu kilashonam lahosif b'ta'arim, Yavan, Ozevan, Torim, whatever he says, V'chein harbe. Now continue. Then he's going to say something, it's going to blow your mind. I'm on the third line. Ashpitame en ozichram. I will eradicate you from the memory of humanity. Galutenu ben ha'amim, anachnu u'binyamin, Yehuda binyamin. She'ein lanu zeche v'amim, v'lo nechshav le'am v'uma klal. Says the Ramban. You can have a nation that has been exiled from its land, but at least retain its characteristics, its identity. But where are they? They are transported to another region. But they can maintain their uniqueness, their culture, their identity. No, that's not what's happening with Am Yisrael. Even those who remained and survived the Aseret HaShvatim, the 10, who disappeared completely, we have survived. But what have we forfeited as we are scattered throughout the world? There is no nationality. Nobody can say, these are Israelis. Today you can do so. But at the time before pre-modern, pre-state of Israel, nobody could say, oh, this guy came from Judea. This guy came from Jerusalem. He had no idea where you came from. So the ashpita, the elimination, for those who even survived the galut, is me'enos zichram. Nobody will be able to identify what your origins were. No one will be able to say, you're a Yerushalmi, you came from that region. That itself is finished. V'hine, yomar ha-katuv, ki haya b'midat ha-din, liyotenu kein b'galut, le'olam. That God's initial decision was, he is so angry that we are going to be in exile, le'olam. I repeat, in exile, le'olam. Le'olam. And I'm going to come back, put a little period next to that word, le'olam. I'm skipping the next three words. I'm going to come back, because that's the next pasuk. Hold on a second. Listen to these words. The yorezeh, and this will be instructive for us, ki begolotenu ata, in this galut, kama zechut avot. Kama zechut avot. Mazat tam v'nishlam, finished. What does it mean? Tam lazachut
avot.
The merit of the parents of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov ran out. Wow. Tama zechut avot. Give me 2 seconds. This Ramban is startling, and many are troubled why the Ramban came to that conclusion in light of the fact that he himself said that it's never going to happen. Please open up to Bereshit, chapter 22. Bereshit, chapter 22. Hold on a second. Give me 2 seconds. Chapter 22. It is Pasuk Tegva. Vayikra. Malach. Hashem El Avraham. Sheinit Min HaShamayim. The Malach appears to Hakadosh, to Avraham, a second time. What did the Malach say the first time?
Don't kill your kid.
God said kill the Malach. And again, I apologize that I can't explain what does that mean. A Malach coming to counteract a directive of God. I don't know what the words mean, but I'm just telling what the text says. The Malach comes a second time, and what does he say? Bi nishbati ne'um Hashem. I am sharing with you an oath taken by the good Lord. Ki ya'an asher asita et hadavar hazeh. Based on the fact that you were willing to do this action, offer your son, you did not withhold your only and favorite cherished son, I will bless you, multiply you, there the Ramban says, that what exactly is this oath which HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, Shelo Yitama Zechut Avot. That's the words of the Ramban. Shelo Yitama Zechut Avot. That he promised, that God said, that the merit of the forefather of Abraham is so great, that it'll never expire. In effect, guaranteeing, what's now the result of such a promise? What's the result of such a promise? That no matter how bad we are, what is there to serve as a saving grace? What's there to serve as a zechut avot? Is there as a saving grace? That's the Ramban's interpretation of Yad Nishbati. I swore. It's the Ramban's famous words. Lo yikamu zechut avot. And yet the Holy Ramban, right here in Parshat Ha'azinu, instead of saying what? What could he have said to be consistent with what he said? He could have been very consistent. He could have said, you know what? Zechut Avot never expires. But there comes a time when you are so bad that God says, it's not enough. You guys are so bad. You know, there's just so many times that you're going to spare the child because of the grandfather. Grandfather was very nice. But comes the time when the guy's so bad, the Ramban uses to accentuate how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Am Yisrael. He is so annoyed that he has now done, in effect, an evaluation and comes to a conclusion. The transgressions are so heavy that they can no longer be balanced by what? Zechut Avot. It's just unbelievable. There is no longer any merit available in the Avot to spare us. Not because they're bad guys, but the transgression is so serious. What is the only thing that prevented it? The text will tell us. What's the only thing that will prevent it? The next pasuk. Pasuk Chav Zayin, the Ramban makes reference. What's the only thing that will prevent it? Pasuk Chav Zayin, take a peek. Lulei Ka'as Oyev Agur. What's going to happen? The enemies are going to start taking credit for it. Ooh. We overcame the Lord. The Lord promised that these people will always remain forever. We conquered them. So what will happen? Desecration of God's name. To avoid the desecration of His name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's going to be the only thing available to spare the remnant of Am Yisrael. If I were not concerned about Chilul Shmi HaGadol, says the Ramban, interpreting this pasuk, every single Jew would have been obliterated. Every single Jew would have been obliterated. Asks the Ramban, he makes reference to it, and I don't have time to read everything inside. Do we ever have a pasuk in the Torah regards that he's going to destroy everybody? Exactly. What was the episode? We're going to read about it next week. God says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hanicholi, leave me alone. The Yichar Apibam, let my anger rage in them. And what will I do? The Eeseh Otcha, L'Gadol, you'll become a great nation. Everybody else eliminated. Moshe interceded. He begged God not to do it. Says the Ramban, there are times when the transgression is so serious that it will lead him to the conclusion that every single person deserves to die. The righteous as well as the guilty. Please open up for just a second, and the Ramban will quote. I'm just saving you some time. Open up to Bamidbar chapter 14 for a minute, and you will see why, in a second occasion, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not do so. Open up to Bamidbar chapter 14, the Meraglim episode, precisely, the Meraglim episode. Look at Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tet Vav, and Tet Zayin. Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and that whole section. What's happening? God was angry because of the Meraglim. What did he decide he was going to do because of the Meraglim? Everybody. He didn't even make a promise at this time. He was so angry he didn't even say, except you, Moshe. You too. Everybody is gone. Everybody is gone. He did not offer Moshe that opportunity as he did by the Egel. By the Egel, he said, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Here, to some extent, Moshe Rabbeinu is guilty as charged. He's getting swept along with everybody else. What is the only saving argument documented in the text? What? Yeah, because what are the nations are going to say? Mi bilti yecholet Hashem. Mi bilti yecholet Hashem pasuk tetzayin lahavi et ha'am hazeh el ha'aretz shenishbalem ha'yishchatein bamidbar.
Again, Moshe appeals to his vanity.
Exactly.
Always.
Precisely. What will those nations in Canaan say? Oh, he was strong enough to destroy the Egyptian gods and the Egyptian people. But he's not strong enough to challenge us, the Canaan and the Hittite and the Amori and the Perizzites. So therefore, what did he do? Lest they be slaughtered by us. What did he do? He slaughtered them in the desert. Because he knew he didn't want to be defeated by us.
He destroyed the evidence.
What a chilul Hashem. What a desecration of God's name. And then, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? But in Pasukha, Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. Kidvarecha. Exactly, only reason, that's the only reason, exactly what you said. You have not marshaled one defense argument on their behalf. They are guilty as charged. Nothing is going to save them other than the fact that Lule Katoye, who knows what the enemy is going to say? The transgression will have been so great that even Zechut Avot will not be capable of providing a winning argument on behalf of Am Yisrael. Yeah, not question.
The implication there is are you saying Zechut Avot is like the way you always describe in terms of Shemona Esrei, when you start Shemona Esrei, you have to have Zechut Avot in order to be able to Hashem, so that
this is even more powerful. This is even more powerful.
That the possibility to is not available.
That is correct. Precisely. That it reaches a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am not giving you the opportunity to engage in an exercise of tshuva. Rambam has written that black and white. Where is the Rambam written that? In the context of what to describe what? To describe whose punishment did the Rambam write that at times when you repeat transgression, the opportunity for tshuva is denied you? Very famous position of the Rambam. By what? Paro! Vayechazek Hashem et leiv Paro. God hardened Paro's heart. The last five makot. Asks the Rambam in the Chumash, and he quotes the Rambam. What do you mean God hardened his heart? Didn't Paro have a choice to do tshuva? Says the Rambam. No, he did not. God stripped him of his right to make a choice. Because once you are guilty, 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 five times, you don't listen, sometimes God says, that's it, I'm not interested. Only midat hadin. Tshuva is predicated upon midat hachesed. The fact that you and me enjoy the right to engage in tshuva in itself is the greatest chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he chooses to operate with midat hadin, then the concept of tshuva is foreign and alien. And it doesn't apply. Doesn't apply. So here the Ramban utters those words that it is so bad that kama zechut avot. Literally meaning that the merits of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were not sufficient to save us. They ran out. The bank account is empty. He used all of the good merits of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Or you can say no. Their merits are always good. They're not empty. But the transgression is so severe that even the merits could not have spared them. But the first interpretation is closer to the words what the Ramban says. Tama zechut avot. God used them up already. And this is so much credit that's so much. After a while, the credit company says what? No more credit. That's what happens. No more credit. Yes.
It's also, it they have reached the stage where the people didn't even remember the scoop of our
that is very, that's a very good point also. You don't even remember, you were so alienated that you don't even remember to invoke it. That's a very nice interpretation. Very nice. Because at least if you remember it, you somehow establish connection. They're so foreign, you don't even want, who's Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? That's a very nice comment. Yeah.
About the 13 midot, no? We have the 13 midot every time we talk about it.
Correct. That's for tshuva. For tshuva.
Yeah.
When God says, I don't want to listen.
No.
No, that's correct. Sotam tfilateinu. What is sotam? So I don't want to hear your tfilot. I don't want to hear your tfilot. I'm not even give you an opportunity to... I'm not going to listen. As if you're not deaf. I'm deaf. I don't hear anything.
Does Rambam mention this anywhere else, or just in this instance?
He may have. I'm not an expert on all Rambams, but this is one of those critical, powerful statements of the Rambam.
So there's no other situation you can know that...
Where he uses those words, kama zechut avot. I don't remember, recall such a thing. File it. You'll use it. That's all. Yes.
I have a question.
Go right ahead.
Perhaps... But was Hashem's, or is there our understanding of Hashem's view that one day all nations will recognize him as
the God,
one God?
Correct.
He's it. So that if the other nations get a chance to wipe us out, then they'll never learn about HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. That's the rest of the Ramban, where the Ramban says the purpose of creation of this world was for what reason? To bring about an awareness of his presence. If the destruction of Am Yisrael is going to lead to what? to a non-realization of that goal, because the nations are going to take credit. I might as well wipe out the whole world, because the world was created only for the purpose to bring about a recognition of his presence. That's exactly what the rest of the Ramban says. Excellent point. Excellent point. Okay. We'll stop here. And Amir Hashem, continue next to us.